Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. We're Pastors George and Terry Pearsons, and we are so glad to be back with you again this week.
I know, 2 weeks in a row.
This is great.
It's like a party.
It is really good. And I'm so thankful to Kenneth and Gloria Copeland for allowing us to do these broadcasts. It is a privilege. It's an honor to be in this studio at this holy desk,
the holy
as your
desk.
Father calls it.
He does call it that.
And to
you
be
know, that's
able...
that's important, George. Mm-hmm. We want you to know that we really reverence and respect this time. We consider, and this is a ministry standard anthem, mm-hmm. is that we value the responsibility as well as the privilege of bringing the Word of God and the flow of the Holy Spirit to you. And we do not take that lightly at all.
Yeah, absolutely. And we are privileged to be able to do this and to bring something to you, especially in the times that we are in right now. All of the crazy, not just crazy, but crazy stuff that is going on out there and people wondering what's going to happen, what's going to take place. Well, we've got some answers for you and from the Word of God. Now, I want to let you know before we get into our study that all of the notes that we're working from are available on kcm.org/notes. And we want to make these available to you so that you can study them. You can go back over the scriptures. Pastors, ministers, you can teach these in your church. And they really are designed. Each day that we do could really be a great Sunday service or a series a pastor could do.
And not only that, there are some things in the notes that we don't get to on the broadcast, but it's just our way of being a blessing and a gift to you. Of course, that doesn't mean that you don't have to study. You know, you need to let the Holy Spirit talk to you through those notes. But what a great help, you know. We go to Brother
really
Copeland's outline sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But it's intended to be a help.
Yeah, it's all, the DNA is in there.
The DNA.
So we began talking last week about end time warnings and instructions. And if you didn't see the broadcast from last week, go back, look at them, and then we'll pick right up today where we left off on Friday. And I just want to quote a scripture to you before we really get into this. And it's from 1 John 5:4. And it says this, "For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world and everything in it, even our faith." And I can hear your dad, and I've heard this time and time again. He'll be speaking somewhere, and he'll talk about, people say, well, what are we going to do? How are we going to handle this? And he will say,
have faith in God.
But everything is going down.
But have faith in God.
What is going on with the nations?
Have faith in God.
What do we need to do?
Have faith in God.
So that runs throughout this entire, everything we do here at Kenneth Copeland Ministries.
It does, but you know, there's a follow-up to that, and that faith isn't just something you try to work up, you try to muster up faith, but rather it is something that comes from the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God,
yes.
And that's what we're doing on this broadcast. It's, as Keith Moore would say, it's faith in the morning, faith at noontime, faith when the sun goes down.
Amen.
And the reason for that is that faith is the underpinning for everything else. There are a lot of good things, a lot of important things, but faith is the engine that makes that work, and faith comes from the hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing the Word of God. We better get in this or we won't finish
so
today.
So go ahead and set this up for us. We're living in these volatile prophetic times.
It's very volatile.
Take
times.
Us through that.
Well, we started, of course, talking about that last week, as we said. So we just want to hit a couple of highlights on this that gives us the right perspective and know what we're talking about. How do we know it's a prophetic time? I hear people saying that. There's a lot of prophetic this and prophetic that, and some of it's God and some of it's just kind of fleshy, and some of it's very intentionally deceptive. So you have to go back to the scripture with the eye of faith to really understand. But how do we know it's a prophetic time, a prophetic season? It's when scripture, not just current day prophecies, but scripture begins to be fulfilled at an accelerated rate, major prophecies coming to pass, one on top of the other, all at the same time, one after another. We start to see that happening. Well, we're clearly in that kind of season. 1948, Israel came in as a nation, and that was like the start gun for a whole end time rollout. But oh my, now it's one thing on top of the other. In Luke chapter 21, it's one of the places where Jesus gave a great dissertation. The disciples had asked him, what will be the sign of your coming? That was one of the questions they asked. And he gave a list, which we won't really elaborate on, but he said nation versus nation. Now, in our minds, because the way we use the word nation, you think, okay, this America versus this country or that country. But really, the original word in Greek is people groups, ethnic groups, racial groups. Whoa, do we see that? People groups against people groups, cultural groups, every kind of group identity against another group, men against women, you know the story. Kingdom versus kingdom. That would be more like the nations. Things that have a centralized government, kingdoms against kingdoms, but it would also mean the kingdom of God against the kingdom of darkness. What else? Great earthquakes, really big ones. We've seen a few, but I'm telling you that's going to begin to pick up. Famines, we don't hear a lot about it, but they're happening. But there are a lot of warnings right now, even in the United States, about the food supply. We've seen little incidences of it. Remember, not that long ago, you couldn't get baby formula. So all kinds of things popping up and escalating. Pestilences, that's contagious disease, often fatal, with great impact. Fearful sights, things that are seen that produce fear. They embed fear into your thinking, into your imagination. Let's see, persecution. Oh, my, it starts with the Jews, and it'll jump very quickly from Jews to Christians. Okay, we're already seeing a lot of that, a lot of it more around the world than we see in Western society, but it's picking up, and we've even seen it coming at times from our own government. Great signs from heaven, like the recent eclipse, other signs in the heavens. The Bible says that he put the sun, the moon, and the stars in the heavens as signs. They speak to us of signs and seasons. We've got to learn to read those signs. Betrayal from close family and from friends. So those were the things. We see these things escalating. Any one of those has been happening since the Garden of Eden. But what we see is them happening, especially in the prophetic nations, those Middle Eastern nations and the European nations that are listed specifically in Scripture. So now down into Luke chapter 21, we go further into it, and we see there are some things Jesus repeats. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars. On the earth, distress of nations with perplexity. That is very interesting about perplexity. What does that mean? Well, it means difficult. Problems that are difficult to comprehend, difficult to find an answer for. Everybody's perplexed. But I've noticed it's not just perplexity among the nations, problems in nations they don't have an answer for, but also just a sense, George, of perplexity. How many times have we encountered just in recent weeks questions that it just seemed hard to get an answer to? Yep. It was like you're having to trudge through swampy waters just to get to an answer. Perplexity is just in the air. Right. What else? The sea and the waves roaring. Men's hearts failing them from fear. Expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. So a dread. I dread this. I dread that. I saw things in the news this morning. I thought, whoa, that's a new level of threat. I had to deal with fear even as I read that. Powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, all of these things, what does that tell us? We have to be ready. We have to prepare, but we also have to respond spiritually first. And then there are natural things to be responsible for. We don't just, faith doesn't just blow things off. Faith doesn't say, pay attention to that.
Yeah.
Don't pay any attention to it in the sense of it's not going to dictate my life. But I do pay attention to things and let the Lord lead. What should be my response to that? First of all, spiritually, scripturally, but then also, how do we respond to it naturally? And that can be different for different people.
Yeah, and that's what we're going to be doing on this week is the responses, the spiritual responses to these things. And if you look at Luke 21 and verse 26, it says this, men's hearts failing them for fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. This is a key end time phrase here. This is a key end time factor. It's fear. And what we're dealing with on the broadcast today is freedom from fear. It says in the New Living Translation, people will be terrified at what they see coming upon the earth. Another translation says, people will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Well, with all of this going on, Terry, we don't have to live in fear in spite of the things that may be coming, the things like you talked about today, hearing some things on the news. We don't have to fear. We are not called to fear. We can refuse to fear. And there is no fear here.
Amen.
So we want to deal with this. Looking at Psalm 34, 1 through 4, this is a really important scripture. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times. But what does that mean? I'm going to bless the Lord all the time.
No matter what the circumstance. You know, George, those kind of things, I think it's important that as we go through this, you have make a quality decision within yourself right now.
Yes.
That this is not just hearing. This is a hearing in order that we may do. Remember a key word here, we are responding. Response is more than just to hear.
Right.
It's what you think, say, and do with what you hear. And he said, I will. Bless the Lord. Mm-hmm. That means I'm not going to blame God.
Thank you, Lord.
Looking to say, and just say, well, God's will be done. No, that's not an appropriate response.
His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, he heard me, and delivered me from some of my fears.
Yeah.
What?
No.
No?
No.
Did I read that wrong?
You read that wrong.
Was that incorrect?
That's incorrect.
Let me look back and see what I wrote here.
Please correct your papers.
I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from, all of my fears. It's everything. It's everything. Imagine living a totally fear-free life.
You know, in that seeking the Lord, it's when we seek the Lord that we learn to recognize fear.
Yeah.
Fear is very deceiving.
Yeah.
It'll be very, very quiet and very, very hidden. And it sneaks up. Fear is not just that sudden fright. Fear, it rises up until it's got a grip and you begin to respond to fear instead of faith. And that's what seeking the Lord will identify that.
And we're laughing here and people are thinking, well, you're talking about fear. That's a serious, serious conversation. But in the face of the things that we are looking at and seeing around us, you laugh at fear. You laugh at the very thought of the devil trying to put fear on you. Because Jesus bore that curse completely and totally. He bore the curse. The master curse of fear has already been paid for. We can come to a place where nothing could move us.
That's
nothing
right.
can shake us. Nothing can intimidate us. Nothing can paralyze us. And nothing can throw us into a state of panic or cause us to anguish or stress from fear.
You know, and there are many times you in your notes here, George, you said against the devil's lies, against people's attacks.
Yeah.
You know, Brother Hagin, this phrase goes in my mind so much. He says, you know, you can be going right along and something happens and knock your head right down to where your feet were just moments before. I mean, just knock you over. But it's in those moments that you have to refuse to fear, refuse to respond to the hurt, to the disappointment, to the surprise, to the fear. You refuse and hang on, clinging to what God's promise is.
Right.
And he promised that he won't leave us or forsake us, and he will meet you at that point of your determination.
I like this in Philippians 1:28. And this is a great description of what we should be doing. It says, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries. The NIV says, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. The New Living Translation, don't be intimidated in any way by your enemies. And I like this from the Message. It says, not flinching or dodging in the slightest before the opposition.
I like that translation that says, good Southern translation, never let the devil see you sweat.
Yeah, there you go. So it's absolutely possible and it's absolutely necessary for us to live fear-free in these times that we're in.
And you have to practice this.
Right.
And you know, the Lord will help you, but you have to start right where you are. Sometimes it's good to sit down and think, where is fear got a place in my life?
Mm-hmm.
Am I fearful over my children? Fearful for their outcome? Am I fearful when they leave the house? Am I fearful over dying early? Am I fearful over losing finances? Am I fearful over losing a relationship, my job? What scares you? What the thought of it? And it's okay to stop and imagine those things, but when you see the fear, don't stop the imagination there. Imagine overcoming it. Imagine what word would you speak to? What word would you go to? If you don't know, then that's where you have to search the scripture and find out. Just let Mr. Google help you out if necessary. You know, what does the Bible say about fear? What does the Bible say about children? When you find in there and let the Lord give you something to hold on to, that's meditation. That's what meditation is. What you meditate on is what becomes rooted in your life. If you meditate on the fear, guess what? It gets rooted deeper and deeper.
Yeah.
You meditate, though, on overcoming the fear, and that's what you become rooted in.
So we have to make a decision about refusing to fear. I refuse to fear. I refuse to fear in the face of whatever we see on television, in the face of whatever you're going through right now. You have to make the quality decision, I refuse to fear. You develop what we call a zero tolerance policy where fear is concerned.
Can I just real quick, many, many years ago, my niece, my sister's daughter, Lindsay, 11 years old, and woke up with a Christmas morning with severe symptoms, took her to the ER. We got a call. She was delirious. It was high fever. We went and they told us that she had spinal meningitis, that it was very severe. Several children had already died. There was an outbreak. And so they did the spinal tap. Didn't look good. Not a good report. My sister stepped out of that room where we all were with Lindsay, and she looked at me, and she will forever be my hero over this.
Yeah.
She looked at me square in the eye and with her teeth gritted, and she said, I refuse to fear.
Yes.
I refuse to fear. And she later told us that when she said that, the grip of fear just dissipated like a drizzle that just went away, just evaporated. And glory to God, we didn't lose anything with Lindsay. She came out of that miraculously, and we give praise to God. But the point was, I refuse to fear. And that's when fear had a grip. Go ahead, Pastor.
We refuse to put up with fear. We refuse to manage fear or cope with fear. What we do, what believers do, we attack it. We attack it with the Word of God. We attack it head on. We eradicate it and we get rid of it from our lives. And a very important thing we must do is obey the command of God. And the command of God is in there 110 times that says, fear not. Fear not. Refuse to fear.
And more times than that, he says it in other ways. Don't be afraid,
et cetera.
But straight out, fear not, 110 times or more.
From Isaiah 41:10, it says, fear not. This is the Amplified Translation. Fear not. There is nothing to fear. for I am with you. Do not look around you in terror and be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen and harden you to difficulties. Yes, I will help you. Yes, I will hold you up, and I'll retain you with my victorious right hand of rightness and justice. Behold, all they who are enraged and inflamed against you shall be put to shame and confounded. They who strive against you shall be as nothing and shall perish. You shall seek those who contend with you, but you shall not find them. They who war against you shall be as nothing at all. For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand. I am the Lord who says to you, fear not. I will help you.
Look at this, George, just on these notes. Look how many times he says, I am.
I am.
I am. Who?
Yeah.
Who's with you?
I am.
The great I am.
The great I am.
The great I am. Think about who it was, that the great I am that brought Israel out of Egypt. The great I am that brought them through the Red Sea. The great I am that took care of Pharaoh's armies. The great I am that provided all those miracles in the wilderness. Glory to God. The great I am said, I will never leave you.
That's right. And the word from the Lord that Brother Copeland gave that we talked about last week, don't feed fear and trouble into your life and through your mouth. Quit living in that house. Get back over in here into the household of faith. Feed on my word and not on the bread of sorrow. Look in my face. Praise and worship my name. Praise and worship and preach the word. Everything is going to be all right.
Yes. feed on my word. That means, like I said, faith in the morning, faith at noon, faith when the sun goes down, and then faith all night long. So that's why all these things that we have to offer you, things that we have to give you, that's how we are supporting feeding your faith.
And we don't have time on this broadcast here to go through these seven scriptures of confessions.
Well, read a couple of them.
Okay, Psalm 118:6. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me.
Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Shout it out. I will fear no evil.
Psalm 27:3, though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war shall rise against me, my confidence is in him.
Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Pfft, who am I going to be afraid of?
The Lord is my strength and my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalm 112, verses 7 and 8. I shall not be afraid of evil tidings. My heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. My heart is established. I shall not be afraid.
2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. That's why we're wanting to give to you, I like this little duet here, these two books, one by Brother Copeland, one by Sister Copeland. Hers is Are You Ready? This will help you be ready for the times that we are in. You may feel behind, but this little book, just doing what's in the little book as it points to Scripture, will help prepare you for what's coming.
And this book, Living in the End of Time, this gives us instructions of what to do in the end of time. This is so awesome. And we're going to make these available to you. So listen to the announcer, get the information, and get these books absolutely free.
Amen.
Are you prepared for the return of Jesus Christ? Do you sense that we are living in the final days before His glorious appearing? Now more than ever, it's crucial for believers to be ready and equipped for the coming move of God. Kenneth and Gloria Copeland have a vital message for you in this critical hour. In the End Time Readiness Package, you'll receive two powerful resources to help you navigate the narrow band of time before Christ's return. In Living at the End of Time, a time of supernatural increase, Kenneth Copeland reveals that we've entered a period of acceleration. You'll discover how to cooperate with God's end time agenda and experience signs, wonders, and miracles in your everyday life. In Gloria Copeland's mini book, Are You Ready? Learn how to stay watchful and in tune with the Spirit so you're fully prepared with God's word for what's ahead. Live victoriously and confidently, free from fear in these end times, and be ready for the greatest outpouring of God's glory ever seen. Get equipped with the End Time Readiness Package and receive books by Kenneth and Gloria Copeland on paperback or as digital downloads. Request your free package today on kcm.org/TV special or call 800-600-7395. Find out how you can live healed, protected, and free from fear. Offer is good for 60 days. Outside the U.S., shipping charges may apply. Contact your regional office for more information.
Father, we thank you this morning and we give you praise. And we thank you that this building once more for one whole week will be a sanctuary for people from all over the world. And we thank you today that this building is full of the Holy Ghost and power from on high. And we praise you and we honor you today. And we pray these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen.
I sense right now we need to take authority over fear. And let's do that together. Let's practice this together. Say this after me. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I take authority over fear.
I take authority over fear.
Fear, you are a name.
Fear, you are a name.
The name of Jesus is over you.
The name of Jesus is over you.
So in the name of Jesus.
So in the name of Jesus.
I command you to leave.
I command you to leave.
Now.
Now.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I receive the presence of God.
I receive the presence of God.
And the peace of God.
And the peace of God.
Thank you, Father. And just thank the Lord for it right now.
Thank you, Lord. Free from fear. Free from fear.
Praise God. Free from fear.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So you can go to our website, kcm.org. You can find so many different things, resources to help build your faith and live free from fear. I mean, we've been listening to messages from Brother Copeland.
On freedom from fear.
Over
and over. You know, we put such a collection of things on this website, kcm.org. No matter where you are, just go to kcm.org. There are videos, the Believer's Voice of Victory magazine, our daily devotional product that you can get. In fact, if you go there, you'll see there's a way to click through to a whole collection of end-time readiness materials that will feed your faith, prepare you, all kinds of things that we see happening in the end time. All of that is there. Why? Because we want you to be free from fear.
Absolutely.
And full of faith. You can share it with friends and family. And then don't miss tomorrow. Don't miss any more of this. Stay with us on this as we continue in our end time warnings and preparation.
That's
Glory
right.
to God.
That's right. Tomorrow we're going to be talking about the authority of the believer. I'm excited about that one.
Amen.
Until then, remember this. God loves you. We love you, and Jesus is Lord.
Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Watch the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast free on kcm.org or KCM's Roku channel. If you would like a free copy of the broadcast to put into your faith library, you can download it on kcm.org or request it on DVD or CD. Keep your heart full of the Word of God and continue to grow in faith. Every believer has a voice, and it is the voice of victory.